Amen. If you got your Bibles open up to the book of Hebrews, we're not going to take very long today because we want to beat what's coming. Amen. It's already here, but we want to beat the brunt of it. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I just wanted to keep you looking until I gave you the chapter. The fourth chapter and the 11th verse. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I heard that this morning, I was telling the Lord, Lord, create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give me the direction and the insight I need to have a clean heart.
Yes.
And these are the verses that God spoke to me. This is how you get a clean heart.
Yeah.
Amen. This is how you do it. It says, let us labor. Well, what's so important about laboring? Because it means you got to put forth an effort.
Yes.
It means it's work. It's not going to be easy. Can't nobody do it for you. Can't nobody hold you up. Can't nobody strengthen you. It's going to cost you something to get something.
Yeah, right.
You have to labor. It means it's like you pain and you travail to get what God has for you. And you're going to have to take your pain and make good out of it. You're going to have to take your distresses and your anxieties and make good out of it. It's not that you're not going to be full of anxiety. It's not that you're not going to be distressed. It's not that you're not going to be overwhelmed at times. But the power of it all is that you labor to keep it under subjection so that it does control your walk in God.
Amen.
Anxiety, distresses, overwhelmization. These things cause you to look at people in a different light when God wants you to see them in His light. If you can see them in God's light, then I don't care how bad, crooked, and different they are, you will always see God in them.
Yeah.
The problem is we're no longer seeing God in people. Because we have elevated ourselves and exalted ourselves to a place where we think we are so much better than they are, and they are beneath us.
Amen.
When you put somebody beneath you, then they are no longer along with you. And if they are no longer along with you, then you can no longer look them in the eye and look into the heart of their soul and see who they really are.
Come on now.
We are acting out because of our emotions and our feelings and circumstances and situations instead of doing what? Laboring to keep it under subjection to the word of God. It costs you something to get something.
Yes.
Let us labor therefore to enter. There's a place. I want to enter in into his rest. Rest don't mean that I'm laying down and I'm rest means that I've labored to a place where I have exhausted all in my own potential. Now I'm standing on the word and the power of God. I've labored to. You ever worked in the yard and got so tired that you just sat there and looked at it and you realized that what you were doing, God had already did?
Preach faster.
But if you hadn't labored to get there, you wouldn't have been able to see the beauty of God. When you work, it says, therefore, to enter into that rest. It's a certain rest that we're trying to enter into. And the 9th verse said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth a rest that for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. That means we have brought self, put self under subjection to the power of God. We don't do things to be seen. We do things because it's God-like.
Amen.
We don't praise God so that folks will think that we're supernatural, we're spiritual. We praise Him because we understand that God inhabits our praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't do like the Pharisees and Sadducees make, you know, worship in the synagogues so that people can see our good works.
Yeah.
I take offense when somebody says to me, you must be religious. I take offense to that. Hare Krishna is religious. Jehovah's Witness is religious.
Yeah.
Buddha's is religion. I want to be born again.
Yeah.
As Keith ministered on that Christmas morning, I want to be born again. I want to be created in a new light, in a new character, a new character. But I can't do that unless I enter into rest and I work hard to get there. That means even though hell layeth at the door, victory is there too.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of tripping over my own feet. I'm tired of letting my works cause me to fall and stumble. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We seem to think that unbelief has to do something with, well, you said God can do this, I don't believe that. That's not unbelief, that's doubt.
Amen.
Unbelief is something that manifests in your mortal being. When you know how God is a healer and you refuse to be healed. When you know that God is a deliverer and you don't think that folks can get delivered. Anybody can get delivered. There's been times I've said myself, Minister Norman, they ain't never going to get delivered. That's unbelief. It's not supposed to have any way in me. No area in me. It's supposed to be non-existent. We're supposed to believe that God can do all things because He is God.
Yeah.
That's where the word comes in. Not a rhema. Not something that comes in and makes you jerk. Not something that comes in and makes you jump up and down and shout. But something that comes in and makes you think.
Yeah.
A logos makes you think. There's been times folks have threw a word at me and I've had to think, T, about it. Now, that sounded good, but what does it mean? I come to this conclusion years ago. All of this word is for me, but what man thinks about it may not be. So what do? I search the word. I got stuck on this scripture years ago, just one of the short scriptures, and it got me in trouble. The word of God says, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have everlasting life. Just because you know the word don't mean you're going to live forever.
Right.
That means you got to dissect it and see and take it so it'll meet with you.
Right.
So that you can align yourself with it if you want to live forever.
Right. Amen.
For the Logos, a spoken word that God used to say, in the beginning was the Logos.
Right.
And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God, and the Logos became a life-giving spirit which transformed itself into a rhema word. Once the word gets in you, it becomes a quickening word. It makes you alive, it makes you live, it makes you cry out to God. But first there's a Logos that's got to enter into you. That's the seed that God wants to be in us. For the word of God, Theos, a revealed God, or the revelation of the power and the nature and the character of God. Most folks don't understand that when God is looking for a many-membered body, just like His firstborn, He's looking for somebody that represents Him in character and in nature, and not in resurrection healing power.
Man, all right, man.
Come on.
Oh. It's quiet in here. I know ain't that many of us. It's still quiet.
No.
Amen. For the word of God is what? Quick. Living. That's why the word of God. See, that's why I like the teaching of Paul. That's why I like, for in him we move, live, and have our being. Why? Because the Logos is quickening. The Logos is living. Y'all don't hear me this morning. It's a living word.
Come on now. Come on.
It's a living word. It is quick and it's powerful. I like the word powerful because it doesn't mean that you can call rain down from heaven, or you can make the clouds stop raining, or you can make the earth shake, but it means that you're active in that word that is in it, your life. You become active in it. That means it says love folks that hate you. To be active in it, you got to love them. Be nice to folks, whether they nice to you or not, means you got to be active. That cost you something. Because flesh tells you, self says, bump them. You can't treat me like that and think I'm going to love you. Well, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve you and God.
Amen. All right.
That's what the Logos is supposed to do, to help you separate yourself from you so you can serve God.
Amen.
That's why it's living. And it's active in your life. You've got to act upon that word. And it's sharper. It's amazing. I love Brother Andy. He put this thing on my laptop. It just, I go all, get in that bad boy, and I find all kinds of stuff. It's got all kind of Greek and Hebrew and Latin and Pentecost, all kind of stuff. And I accidentally hit the wrong button. And it went so fast. Well, I don't want to go there. But when it come up, it had a derivative or directive from the word. Y'all ain't listening to me.
Sharper.
Webster tells us that sharper means pointed or jagged or edge. But when I got through researching, the word sharper means more keen. See, the word of God makes you more keen than the normal man. It makes you more keen than yourself. You can see out from yourself and see that self is trying to ruin you. There ain't nobody ever ruined me but me. That's what the living word do. It's quick and it's active and it's more keen than I am. So if I rest in it or live in it, I can make it. The word van means over. It's more keen over any two-edged sword. That lets you know that it's cutting both ways. That's why I say, be careful what you say. Because not only is it going to cut you going out, but it's going to cut you coming back. So make sure when you get cut coming back, I'd rather get cut with a dull knife than a piece of paper. The word God comes back like a piece of paper. It reminds you that you don't want to travel down that road again. I don't know about you, but it's done reminded me And it pierces. It reaches through. Or it, the word of God, let me tell you what. This is what I found out, pastors. When you ask God, creating you a clean heart, and you take the logos and you apply it to your walk, to your speech, to your works, to your life, and it becomes living in you. A nature begins to transform you by the renewing or the changing of your mindset or your conditionalism. You begin to see yourself in a different light. Now you're realizing that the word of God is just not overthrowing you, but it's penetrating you.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Then you say, that's why Paul made the statements, you might be cast down, but not destroyed. Because you realize you've been infiltrated with a word that is life itself. It's Zoe life. It is the power of all creation. My God, if we have this life in us, why are we so quick to give up?
Yeah.
You gotta hear it. We got to go. Amen. Piercing even to the dividing. I like that part. Dividing. Because I need to be divided. I need to be separated from me.
Yeah.
Me has his own opinion, his own ideas, his own principles. You notice something that I didn't notice, that I didn't pay much attention to until the other day? You know how we used to say, me and Pastor Keys, Pastor Keys and myself. That used to be the way to speak or to say it in the English. But they changed it in the book. Now you can say Pastor Keys and me. I'm going to hear that wind.
Yeah.
Man is changing the word or language according to the way he is changing to himself.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I feel funny saying Minister Norma and me. I still say, well, Minister Norma and I. Say, well, what's the difference between me and I? I is just me in a whole. Me means from the inside out. That means that what I am inside is flowing up out of me. That's my representation. You can't allow me to represent you in the kingdom of God. The only thing that's going to separate you is a word, a true word, like Pastor Keith speaks, a true gospel, a good news, a revelatory word that has the ability to change your mindset, to come into your heart and change your thoughts and your principles and your concept of who you are. Because if you don't change, nothing around you will ever change.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
He had some friends who used to cry out, Lord, you need to change them. Change them. Sick of them. Change them. And she decided to see God one day. I'm going to see God. I'm going on a fast thing. Like, okay. Let me know what he says. So she fasted and she prayed for about a week. And I saw her eating some soup, so I figured she was off. I said, well, what did God say? So I don't want to talk about it. How you not want to talk about what God done told you? I don't want to talk about it right now. That let me know right off the bat that it was something she didn't want to hear.
Right.
Yeah. So she got under conviction one day. She said, I got to tell you what God said. I said, what did he say? I'd already figured it out. She said, I was just praying. I come off my fast. And I said, God didn't do nothing. I ain't heard from God. He ain't talked to me. And she said, I got ready to pray and said, Lord, change him. And God said, why don't you change? I said, you didn't want to tell me that? She said, no, that ain't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear God say he was going to move him out of my way.
Yeah.
called me to change. The only thing that will change us is a true word.
Yeah.
A word that has the ability to penetrate self and separate this mindset, this old man, from the new nature. Yeah. You can't get rid of it, but you can separate it by bringing it under subjection to the very logos that you've taken in your life. You've got to allow it to penetrate so it can take you in the direction that God has called you into.
Yeah.
A lot of times the direction God calls you into ain't where you want to go.
Right.
But it's where you need to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. It's amazing how God brings stuff back to your remembrance. I named my son after this prophet. Don't remember his name. Don't remember my son's middle name now.
Branham.
Branham, thank you. William Branham. I got a hold of this little pamphlet and it just blew me away. This prophet was telling his story how he was on a train and he was on his way to a certain city to preach. And halfway before he got there, he heard the Lord tell him to get off the train. He said, I'm not getting off this train. I don't have no more money. I got to get to the church. I got to get to the church on time. So I can minister and they'll take care of me. But God impressed him. He said, the Lord, the word that was in him was driving him absolutely insane. So at the next stop, he got off the train, walked back 3 miles to get to the house and gave him an address. He went up to this address. He knocked on this door and this little old lady came to the door. And she opened the door and he said, God told me to come see you. She fell to her knees as she opened up the door and said, I have been praying for 3 years. They said my son would not make it another week. He never had a chance to lay hands on the kid. God healed him. Because he did what? He obeyed God. How many hear me? The word will penetrate your flesh and make you and cause you to want to obey God. When you obey God, God will lead you in a direction, take you somewhere, allow you to meet someone, send somebody your way that needs to hear from the Lord. You might not get to open your mouth. Your hug might minister to them. Your handshake might teach them. Your words might encourage them. But God brought them to you because everything has a purpose and an intent. Piercing even to the dividing, the separation, asunder of soul. I really need my soul separated because all I ever want all the time is heart's desires. Thank God I already made provisions for that, but we skipped the first part. How's it go? It's in Psalms. You delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you. Delight means sacrifice yourself. Put yourself on an altar. That's what delight. It don't mean being happy. If you're happy about Jesus, he'll give you the desires of your heart. No, if you sacrifice you for Jesus, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And in sacrificing yourself, you can only do it in and out of the word of God. It'll separate you. I like it says, as I asunder and spirit. Well, normally we look at the word spirit, we assume it's talking about the spirit of God, but it's talking about your spirit. What do you mean, my spirit? I'm soul. But you were first a spirit before you were a soul. And God has to deal with both of them through the word of God so that eventually your spirit will line up with the word spirit. Now we're talking about rhema because the logo begins to transform. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind and the logos becomes a rhema. Now, not just a living word on the inside of you, but now you become a living word.
Amen.
And the joints and the marrows. Folks always testify, you know, that's the arthritis. First thing we want to say, I don't know Arthur. You don't know him, but he know you. He got your name tattooed on his forehead. Arthur. And if you go around the back, it says, righteous. Let me tell you how my flesh used to do me. You know how we speak by faith, Brother Tony? I'm full of faith, Brother Darius. I make misses around somebody, a lot of the older generation, and my knees are bothering me. That's Arthur. I ain't got no Arthur. I don't even know Arthur. Flesh say, let me teach you. Can't even get up and down the stairs. Have to scoot up the stairs. Remember that's a chair. Scoot up and down the stairs. Because let me tell you something. It ain't the devil that will try your faith. It's you. Your flesh will try your faith and try to afflict you with the very thing that you just said couldn't.
Right.
I learned my lesson. I say this now. Well, my doctors say I got arthritis, but I got victory over it.
Amen. Amen.
Glory. I have the victory over it.
Glory.
How do I get the victory? Because of the word in me that says I don't have to lay down to it. It only controls you if it separates you from what you do.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, I got a cold. You better stay away. Most saints, they'll say they don't have a cold, then they'll give it to you. Now, not only do they not have one, you don't have one either. Sneezing, coughing, hacking. This word is so powerful, it gets down into the joints and the marrow. You know, the marrow is that stuff that's supposed to be in between your joints that cushions you. You tell me the word can get that deep, that means God ain't leaving nothing unturned.
Right.
There ain't nothing in your life that he ain't went down into and searched it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what he's saying is, we need to come straight with him. Let the word make you come straight with him. Be honest with him.
Right.
Well, I ain't what I used to be. I'm sure you're not. Excuse me. Like this morning, I said, one of them pastors going to preach this morning. I said, they're going to preach this morning. And the Lord said, why? Because you got a little bitty throat ache. I said, yep. That's a good enough reason. Let me tell you what God will do. God will overthrow your flesh and remind you of a time that was worse than that.
Yeah.
I remember a time I preached Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, had laryngitis. You couldn't even hear me. Pastor Hodge sat there and looked at me and clapped. Preach, brother, preach. You couldn't even hear me. And the mic turned up so loud it was ridiculous. I had a cup like this. And he was hollering, preach. And I'm going, ooh, Jesus, help me. And then he turned around and said, that was a fabulous message. You preaching tonight too. But Lord, I have no voice. Yeah, you do. Heard every word you said. This don't compare to that. So why complain about this? And I didn't complain about that. I did it because he wanted me to. Now I'm doing it because Jesus says do it.
All right.
My partners have changed because there's a word that's set up in me that's recreating me,
man.
Giving me a clean heart. Not a heart that says, I don't make mistakes, but a heart that says, you now have the ability and the power to overwhelm your mistakes and make good out of them.
Man.
I'm close.
Man.
Yes.
And as a discerner.
For I am the Lord your God, and I am setting up myself in the hearts of men and women to teach them and to guide them, and my spirit shall influence them. It shall pierce them to the dividing and asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, to give them an understanding of what they must overcome and what their daily fighting against is. It's not the prince of the air, it's with themselves. For if you overcome self, even as I did, I came into the world and I overcame. And I overcame by the word that I heard from my Father. You shall overcome by the word that you hear from me. The Logos, the one who was in the beginning, and the one who is with you now, and the one who is shall be with you always. I shall go before you, and I shall be in you, and I shall instruct you, and I shall give you that overcoming power, for I am the overcomer, and ye shall overcome each and every day. Each and every day is a closer walk with me. Continue to be in my word, and I shall lead you, and I shall guide you. Ye shall not drown, ye shall not be overwhelmed, ye shall not burn, but ye shall overcome, for I am with you wheresoever you go, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will be with you wherever you go. And he'll go down into your joints and your marrow. And he is the discerner of the thoughts. Remember the word of God says, cast down every imagination. And we know that the word imagination means reasoning.
Yeah.
When you reason within yourself, that would try to exhort itself against or above the word of God. Cast it down. Why? Because it says it is a discerner. Let me tell you what God does. You know what? God is no longer is he not just decisive about what he wants. But you know what I found out about God? You just can't keep thinking anything you want to think. God discriminates against our thoughts. Paul realized that. That's why he said you have to cast them down. God will discriminate against your thoughts. That's why he told the, who was that, the Philippians? No, Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who in paraphrasing, known the power of God, but now have decided that his power isn't good enough for you. So now you're trying to work it out in your own and out of your own self.
Yeah, right.
Discriminate of the thoughts.
Yes.
Thoughts is when we, you know, we sit down, I sit back and reason within myself why something happened. You know. And God will bust your bubble every time. He bust my bubble this morning. I was, you know, before Brother Andy and I were going upstairs to do radio and stuff, and on my way back, I was thinking, well, ain't nobody going to show up because of snow this morning. And Mother Jordan, I forgot how she said that. Oh, I know what she said. Brother Andy told us, me and Sister Sherry says, God gonna have it who we want here. Sister Jordan turns right around and says, dear Lord, if I can make it, anybody can make it.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And my wife didn't ride this morning, and I was on out of drive all by myself. All by myself, and I had a ball. Car was slipping and sliding, and I was just laughing and singing. I said, "Ooh, she would be having a fit right now. She would have made me pull over. Let me drive." Amen. God wants us to enjoy our salvation.
Yeah.
That's why he says every man work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. What causes that? The word of God. A word. I see you, baby. A word of God. a word. Thoughts and intents. Remember, we used to always talk about how sometimes you better off just having horse sense. A horse gonna throw you off the cliff before he jump off. He gonna let you go. And he gonna buck you too if you try to hold on to the reins. Because there's only one thing going through his little pea mind, which is how big it is. I'm not going with you. I see what's down there. I'm not going with you. Why don't we have horse sense or moral deliberation where we can decide, I see where you're going. I'm not going.
Man.
The word already working and you tell it, you know, you need to you need to avoid that. What do we say to ourselves? We sound like Kevin Hart. I got this. I got this. And you do. When you find a side turn loose, you done turned upside down of the heart. Look at, I want to read you something. Soul, heart's desire, or the drive and the passion of one's soul or inner being, thoughts and patterns. With everything that's going on in the world today, in closing, the world has become morally unsound. It has. And you know who's running the close second? The church. We are morally unsound. Jesus made it so simple. He said, I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. You don't think he already know ain't no way in the world we'd ever be perfect? But he do understand one thing, that we can become so mature through this quickening.
Yes. Amen.
That's cutting in us and piercing even to our flesh. We can become so mature in the things of God that we don't allow other folks' emotions and feelings and thoughts to affect how we love, how we care, how we have compassion, how we pray for, how we stand with, how we encourage and strengthen others. When you come to a place where you can see the error of your ways because of what the word has told you and not because of what somebody preached to you, then you're on the right track. I thought one of the greatest messages I ever preached was Sherry. Nobody liked it but me. It was at a Heart Brother convention on a Wednesday morning, on Friday morning. Where Heart said, you preach it Friday morning, Heart Brother. I said, no, I ain't. He said, yes, you are. As long as you go to this church, you're going to preach. I said, Brother Heart, I can't preach to all them. It was preachers and evangelists and missionaries. And I said, I can't preach to them. He said, oh, yes, you are. I said, okay, if you say so. So I would get up and preach this real happy message, Brother Little John, about how God beautifies the feet of the meek and all this good stuff. And right in midstream, the fan blew my Bible, my book, to another book, to the book of Romans. And my eyes fastened on it. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I started preaching, and they was just yelling and hollering. And then they started getting quieter and quieter and quieter. And you could hear a pin drop when God, it was God, because I wouldn't have never said it. I was too scared to say it. That it's time for pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers and missionaries and anyone that's called to the gospel to start realizing that they have to accept responsibility for their own actions. I messed up. I was so glad there was only one day left to Hart Brothers because I caught it. I caught it from folks from California and from Nebraska and you name it, I caught it. I said, God, that ain't how you work. He said, I work the way I work. When you decide you want to stop preaching the word, quit. I said, well, I ain't ready to do that. He said, well, then. Right. Did you think everybody gonna love what you have to say? They don't love what you have to say. Folks that love what you have to say don't love God. Stop trying to tickle men's flesh all the time.
Yeah.
And stop making folks feel good about their mess. He said, because I don't make you feel good about none of yours. I said, you sure don't. You sure don't. You sure don't. You teach me on an everyday basis that my life is like filthy rags and that I've always fallen short of the glory of the Lord. Because there's a word that God has implanted in our hearts, in our souls, to bring us to a place of supernatural mercy and understanding. Every year, regardless of what year it is, it's supposed to be a year of growth. If you can't see growth in the year you just came out of, then you need to backtrack because you done missed God. I don't care if you've been through hell, low or high water, you have had to have seen some growth in the midst of what you were going through, or you missed out on what God was trying to teach you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I got on that spiritual walkie-talkie. I said, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. You don't have to repeat yourself. It's a done deal. We're going where God wants us to go and do what he wants us to do. He already said his grace is sufficient.
Yeah, right.
So we might as well just work on pleasing him. Everyone stand. We might as well work on pleasing the Lord. Amen.